Hi, my name's Martin, and this is Kaput Radio. Welcome to this special edition of Serving Up Sick, Sicker and Sickest Political Gutter Adventure in Australia. Because the Melbournean atheist woman Prime Minister and the Queensland Christian ex-Prime Minister were at each other's throat, or in an ad hoc limerick, better a redhead with red under her bed than a rud dud throwing mud like a dickhead playing the undead. So, folks, best to have the sick bag ready.
And ugliest infighting seen in modern political times.
There are dodgy, done-in-the-dark deals.
Really, he should just look in the mirror.
A stealth attack.
I can assure you.
I believe.
Kevin is a messiah. Publicly aired verbal bloodbath. Ugly. Had a gutful.
We Queenslanders.
I want to give the party a chance.
Grudges. Malice. Apologise.
A gutful.
Australians are sick and tired.
But in another sensational development, faceless man quit.
I'm a faceless man.
Darling, you have been a rock, absolute rock.
Leadership spill.
Fundamental and moral challenge.
Quoting faceless and nameless sources.
We Queenslanders.
I can assure you.
That's un-Australian.
Really, he should just look in the mirror.
After this total mess and spillage, I remember there's a species which tries to clean up after vomiting its stomach content. Dogs. Yeah, dogs are quite keen to lap it all up. They are sometimes called lap dogs.
Mate, this is just impossible. I'll get to the very end. Can tell these dickheads in the embassy to just give me simple sentences. I mean, I've said this before. Tell a bloody interpreter. This f***ing language is just complicates it so much, you know? Tell them to cancel this meeting at 6 o'clock, will you? I don't have the f***ing patience to do it. Is this a f***ing Chinese interpreter up there?
You know, are you sick of it too?
Yeah, totally, mate.
You know, they're serving sick non-stop on
Penny,
the ABC.
Penny Wong for president.
And then they say, I'm sick of it on air, you know. And why don't you stop serving it, I reckon?
Yeah, sure. No, I think the only cure is Penny Wong for president. Yeah.
I wonder how sick of it you are about the Iran propaganda we are served up on main sick screen media. Okay, I won't add any sick sounds into this because I expect some nervous times ahead. If you observe the oil price and the hedgings on the trades. Well, our question from here is, what would Iran want a nuclear bomb for? Just let that simple question linger for a while during this little mix.
If the Iranians will have the bomb, we will be in a nightmare. Every morning and every evening, we will have to ask ourselves, what is going to be tomorrow? What are the intentions of the Iranians? Will they use the bomb or not?
If there is an attack on Iran, the response will be very severe.
Hence speculation that Israel might attack Iran's nuclear facilities.
Evidence that Iran has ever pursued a nuclear weapon. The Russians and the Chinese have said that themselves repeatedly. In the past, Americans actually used Israeli threats of attack on Iran to bully Russia and China or to force them to accept their resolutions in the UN Security Council. Even now, the United States uses Israel as a sort of mad attack dog that needs to be controlled in order to increase sanctions on Iran, in order to force third countries to stop trading with Iran.
That's going to happen. I think that's a preposterous scenario. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, who's just about as cracked as the foreign minister Lieberman of Israel, he rages and rages. He's a crackpot. But he is not the man in charge of nuclear power, and he's certainly not in charge of the Iranian military. And Khamenei, the supreme leader, not a man I'm very fond of, has said repeatedly that any use of nuclear weapons is against the rule and will of God. As long as he keeps saying that, I don't think Iran is going to launch an attack.
The view that Iran is pursuing a nuclear military capability is not just the view of the United States of America.
There is absolutely no evidence that Iran has ever at any point had a military aspect to its nuclear program. In fact, Iran for 2 years effectively allowed the additional protocol to be implemented in the country, giving extraordinarily huge amount of access throughout the country to IAEA inspectors. Nothing was ever found that was in any way or form suspicious. The recent IAEA statement under the new head of the organization is basically rehashed old information.
Preventing a nuclear-armed Iran. There's no indication whether Iran genuinely intends to negotiate or, as the West suspects, is simply buying time to advance its nuclear program.
The anticipation of the wiping Israel off the map, it was never said by Ahmadinejad. He said the regime should be disappeared, not the country, which has been used day in, day out with Western media.
The of nuclear negotiations between Iran and six world powers now seems doubtful.
This particular action by Iran suggests that they have not changed their behavior when it comes to abiding by their international obligations.
Israel has not ruled out using force against Iran if diplomacy and sanctions fail. Any attack would have wide-ranging consequences.
But there's another side to Iran. And it's this view of Iran that most often reaches our TV screens. Protesters mark the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution with a demonstration against the United States.
زمان حال مرده جوونی که تو چشماش فرد سال خورده و اون قربانی منم که حالا تقریبا باختم از آدمای اطرافم اهریمن ساخت از پدر مادر هیچ خیلی وقتی من نبینم انتظار داری دیگران و اهریمن نبینم عشق از کجا ببینم من با دوتا چشم از پدر مادری که میخوان جدا بشن به ما که رسید دنیا دهن باز کرد درد و ریخ رو سرم و منو برانداز کرد من تو دلم از شما داشتم تصویر با هم تیکه پاره شدم از این تصمیم ناهم وقتی دنیا اینو میخواد که مخصوصم بسوزم چی کار کنم دلم رو با نخصوصم بدوزم وقت منم که دارم شما رو نصیحت میکنم من یه مردم که دارم دائما وصیت میکنم یه بارم دنیا رو از نگاه من ببینی یه بارم شده پای صدای من بشینی بیاین به خاطر من یه راه حل بچینی بیاین دستامون رو در کنار هم بگیری یه بار دنیا رو از نگاه من ببینی یه بار پای صدای من بشینی بیاین به خاطر هم یه راه حل بچینی بیاین دستامون رو در کنار هم بگیری میخوام بدونم شما چه کاری برام کردی به جز این که فردای منو خراب کردی نمیخوام برم پی مواد و خلاف سنگی ولی به خدای خط صاف نوار مفسی نه ناله نه داد و هوار نداره تأثیر دوای شبای تباب تمام مستی منو یادتون رفته خیلی حواس پرتی امید من شما نقشه برام کردی من دیوان وار تشته نوازشم نمیخوام منو دعا کنین تو نوازشم تو خواسته همون همه ی نیازا رو دیدی بگو جواب این فرزند بیازار می بابا تو بات منی یعنی تو خود منی حال میکنم وقتی میبینم دور همی بدون شما تنها و دریغ از یه دوست به خودم میگم که تو آتیش حقیقت بسید یه بارم دنیا رو از نگاه من ببینی
یه بارم شده پاری صدای من بشینی، بیاین به خاطر من یه راه حل بچینی، بیاین دستامون رو در کنار هم بگیری، یه بار دنیا رو از نگاه من ببینی، یه بار پای صدای من بشینی، بیاین به خاطر من یه راه حل بچینی، بیاین دستامون رو در کنار هم بگیری. خیلی وقت این سوال توی مغزم از قدیم، چرا رفتی تو محضر لعنتی؟ سوال که نه کلی عقده تومه، که توی شبای تنهایی مثل جغد شومه. من یه جوون ضعیفم، دلم بیتاقت، هنون چرا اینجا وقتی نداشتین لیاقت؟ من باشه بالا سر منم یکی هست ببین، منو از خدا گرفتی میخوام به کی پس بدی؟ این جماعت گرگ این امانت توست، ما در این سمر بیداری شبانت خود، چقدر جلوی دیگران بخوام رازداری کنم، چقدر من توی دستای شما پاسکاری شده، چقدر از ترس بعد جدایی توهم بگیره، چقدر دیگران منو به چشم ترحم ببینه. منو ببین یه بیمارم، یه بیتاب، یه غریب، بچه نیستم واسه گریه هم یه تیتاب بخری، مادر واسه هات بودم واسه ما دوای درد، آخرش میمردن همه یه آدم های بد، با طلاق شما منم میشم آدم بده، بیا خوبی کن و بد بودن یادم نده.
Next up comes Mazda Brani. The recording comes courtesy of TED Videos. Check the funny category to find him.
I was one of the founding members of the Axis of Evil comedy tour. The other founding members included Ahmed Ahmed, who is an Egyptian-American who actually had the idea to go to the Middle East and try it out before we went out as a tour. He went on solo and did it first. Then there was Aaron Kader, who was the Palestinian-American. And then there was me, the Iranian-American of the group. Now, being Iranian-American presents its own set of problems, as you know. Those two countries aren't getting along these days. So it causes a lot of inner conflict, you know, like part of me likes me, part of me hates me. Part of me thinks I should have a nuclear program, the other part thinks I can't be trusted with one. These are dilemmas I have every day. But I was born in Iran. I'm now an American citizen, which means I have the American passport, which means I can travel. Because if you only have the Iranian passport, you're kind of limited to the countries you can go to with open arms, you know, Syria, Venezuela, North Korea. So anyone who's gotten their passport in America will tell you, when you get your passport, it still says what country you were born in. So I remember getting my American passport. I was like, woohoo! I'm going to travel. And then I opened it up and said, born in Iran. I'm like, oh, come on, man. I'm trying to go places. But what's interesting is I've never had trouble traveling in any of the Western countries with my American passport, even though it says born in Iran, no problems. Where I've had some problems is in some of the Arab countries, because I guess some of the Arab countries aren't getting along with Iran either. And so I was in Kuwait recently doing a comedy show with some other American comedians. They all went through. And then the border patrol saw my American passport. Aha, American, great. And then he opened it up, born in Iran, wait. And he started asking me questions. He said, what is your father's name? I said, well, he's passed away, but his name was Khosrow. He goes, what is your grandfather's name? I said, he passed away a long time ago. His name was Jabbar. He says, you wait, I'll be back. And he walked away. And I started freaking out, because I don't know what kind of crap my grandfather was into. Thought the guy's going to come back and be like, we've been looking for you for 200 years. Your grandfather has a parking violation. It's way overdue. You owe us $2 billion. But as you can see, when I talk, I speak with an American accent, which you would think as an American, Iranian-American actor, I should be able to play any part, good, bad, what have you. But a lot of times in Hollywood, when casting directors find out you're of Middle Eastern descent, they go, oh, you're Iranian, great. Can you say, I will kill you in the name of Allah? I go, I could say that, but what if I were to say, hello, I'm your doctor? They go, great, and then you hijack the hospital. Like, I think you're missing the point here. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind playing bad guys. I want to play a bad guy. I want to rob a bank. I want to rob a bank in a film. I want to rob a bank in a film, but do it with a gun. With a gun, not with a bomb strapped around me, right? Because I imagine the director, Muzz, I think your character would rob the bank with a bomb around him. Why would I do that? If I want the money, why would I kill myself? Right? Give me all your money or I'll blow myself up. Well then, blow yourself up. Just do it outside, please. But the fact is, there's good people everywhere. That's what I try and show in my stand-up. There's good people everywhere. All it takes is one person to mess it up. Like a couple months ago in Times Square in New York, there was this Pakistani Muslim guy who tried to blow up a car bomb. Now, I happened to be in Times Square that night doing a comedy show. And a few months before that, there was a white American guy in Austin, Texas, who flew his airplane into the IRS building. And I happened to be in Austin that day doing a stand-up comedy show. Now, I'll tell you, as a Middle Eastern male, when you show up around a lot of these activities, you start feeling guilty at one point. I was watching the news. I'm like, am I involved in this crap? I didn't get the memo. What's going on? But what was interesting was the Pakistani Muslim guy, see, he gives a bad name to Muslims and Middle Easterners and Pakistanis from all over the world. And one thing that happened there was also the Pakistani Taliban took credit for that failed car bombing. My question is, why would you take credit for a failed car bombing? Right, we just want to say, we tried. And furthermore, it is the thought that counts. And in conclusion, win some, lose some. But what happened was when the white guy flew his plane into the building, I know all my Middle Eastern and Muslim friends in the States were watching TV going, please don't be Middle Eastern, don't be Hassan, don't be Hossein. And the name came out, Jack. I'm like, woo! That's not one of us. But I kept watching the news in case they came back. They were like, before he did it, he converted to Islam. Damn it! Why, Jack? Why? But the fact is, I've been lucky to get a chance to perform all over the world. And I did a lot of shows in the Middle East. I just did a 7-country solo tour. I was in Oman, and I was in Saudi Arabia. I was in Dubai. And it's great. There's good people everywhere. And you learn great things about these places. I encourage people always to go visit these places. For example, Dubai, cool place. They're obsessed with having the biggest, tallest, longest, as we all know. They have a mall there, the Dubai Mall. It is so big, they have taxis in the mall. I was walking, I heard beep beep. I'm like, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm going to the Zara store. It's 3 miles away. Out of my way, out of my way, out of my way. And what's crazy, there's a recession going on, even in Dubai, but you wouldn't know by the prices. Like in Dubai, in the Dubai Mall, they sell frozen yogurt by the gram. It's like a drug deal. I was walking by, the guy's, psst, Habibi, my friend. You want some frozen yogurt? Come here, come here, come here. I have 1 gram, 5 gram, 10 gram. How many gram do you want? I bought 5 grams, $10, $10. I said, what's in this? He's like, good stuff, man, Colombian, top of the line, top of the line. The other thing you learn sometimes when you travel to these countries in the Middle East, sometimes in Latin American countries, South American countries, a lot of times when they build stuff, there's no rules and regulations. For example, I took my 2-year-old son to the playground at the Dubai Mall. And I've taken my 2-year-old son to playgrounds all over the United States. And when you put your 2-year-old on a slide in the United States, they put something on the slide to slow the kid down as he comes down the slide. Not in the Middle East. I put my 2-year-old on the slide. He took off. I went down and go, where's my son? On the third floor, sir, on the third floor. You take a taxi, you go to Zara, make a left. Try the yogurt, it's very good. Little expensive. But one of the things I try to do with my stand-up is to break stereotypes. And I've been guilty of stereotyping as well. I was in Dubai, and there's a lot of Indians who work in Dubai. And they don't get paid that well. And I got in my head that all the Indians there must be workers. And I forgot there's obviously successful Indians in Dubai as well. I was doing a show, and they said, we're going to send a driver to pick you up. So I went down to the lobby, and I saw this Indian guy. I go, he's got to be my driver. Because he was standing there in like a cheap suit, thin mustache, staring at me. So I went over, excuse me, sir, are you my driver? He goes, no, sir, I own the hotel. I go, I'm sorry, then why were you staring at me? He goes, I thought you were my driver. I'll leave you guys with this. I try with my stand-up to break stereotypes, present Middle Easterners in a positive light, Muslims in a positive light, and I hope that in the coming years, more film and television programs come out of Hollywood presenting us in a positive light. Who knows, maybe one day we'll even have our own James Bond, right? My name is Bond. Jamal Bond. Till then, I'll keep telling jokes. I hope you keep laughing. Have a good day. Thank you.
Ya Rab, dile Muslim ko wo zinda tamanna. Ya Rab, dile Muslim ko wo zinda tamanna de. Ya Rab, dile Muslim ko wo zinda tamanna de.
You were saying the marketing.
Yeah, have a look at this.
Welcome, it says. Welcome to the market.
Well, I mean, there's so much marketing here that I'm actually sick of it.
There's too much PR dollar spent here.
I mean, don't you get sick of wine? Good wine, yeah. But selling for $5.20.
I'm sick of it. $2.90, yeah, mate. Yeah. Bowlers run.
Yeah. Yeah, $2.90. And there's another one that's pretty good too. Shiraz and Merlot. That's what we're looking
for. Well, you
for.
Know best how to destroy the brain.
Ross is a treat.
I can see a lot of accessories to have as an alcoholic these days here. Yeah. That's amazing. That little, this lantern with the remote control, I found quite remarkable as sort of a,
with the road an
innovative product.
It's
how about a toothbrush one. With remote control?
Oh, an electric toothbrush, that'd be something.
With remote?
Yeah.
Feeling run down, Billy? Need a day to ponder the meaning of life? Enjoy the fresh air or just get stone drunk?
Boy, do I.
Why not call in sick then?
Hello, boss. I'm sick today and I can't come to work.
Whoa there, Billy. You've got great enthusiasm, but your delivery needs a little work. Let's really sell this excuse. First, let's jot down a list of excuses and see what the best one is. Very good, Billy. Sounds legit to me. Now, practice your excuse. You need to sound convincing.
I'm sick and can't come in today.
Practice in front of a mirror or with a friend.
I don't think I can come in today.
Yeah. Time to put your excuse to the test, Billy.
Squeeze OC Global Headquarters, this is Iris.
Iris, I don't think I can come in today.
Yeah, you really don't sound very good.
Yeah, I have a fever and my lymph nodes are the size of tennis balls.
Oh man, this is like the third time this week too.
Yeah, I think I'm coming down with West Indianial virus.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, why don't you stay home, definitely get some rest, drink lots of fluids, and hopefully you can come back in tomorrow. If not, just call and let me know.
Okay.
Good job, Billy. The day is yours. Now that you have the day, make sure you go someplace where you can't get caught. After your day of worry-free relaxation, make sure you continue on with your charade. If you went to the beach, make sure you wore suntan lotion so your golden bronze skin doesn't give you away. Never forget your excuse from the day before.
So you still vomiting blood?
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, yes, I'm still doing that.
And above all, make sure your boss sees you're still suffering once you return to the office.
Hey, Iris. How you doing?
You sound terrible. Maybe you need to go home and take another day of rest.
Way to go, Billy. You truly are the king of excuses.
Twin brother. That's what we can say. It's me twin. It's me twin brother.
And my final six serve, one double cone, six serve of Banks. Are you as sick of it as I am?
You have a situation where the big four have received enormous benefits from taxpayers as a result of the bank guarantee back at the height of the GFC at the end of 2008, which was the right thing to do. But it seems the banks have been all take in terms of taxpayer support, but not much give in terms of giving back to consumers.
Record profit by a big four bank.
Less, the ANZ Bank has announced massive layoffs.
I know what you're thinking about banks anyway.
About 1,000 people, mainly in administration, will lose their jobs.
Ian, I want you to word before we go into our secret Australian Bankers Association caucus. Regrettably, those ivory tower twits over at the RBA have created a real problem for Westpac and CBA by keeping rates steady in February. Of course, our two other partners in crime, ANZ and NAB, are in precisely the same pickle. Ha 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 ha.
The public is working us out. The new head of the competition regulator came out last week and claimed that there was not enough full and effective competition between we oligarchs. How dare this feeble public servant question us? The nation relies on the major banks for its prosperity. Everybody knows the quid pro quo is that we get to make out like bandits. And most politicians are too scared to act because they know we control all the big corporate advertisers. Whenever a media company gives any airtime to the bank bashers, we threaten to pull our advertising. Ha 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 ha.
I agree, Ian. I am worried that our ruse may be up. One gadfly over at the ABC had the temerity to point out that we major banks are getting to deliver ultra-high returns with ultra-low risks because of the implicit taxpayer guarantees investors assume back us, and for which we pay nothing. Right now, however, I am more annoyed with our economists for getting their RBA call wrong. It has placed us in a dastardly difficult position.
Yes, we at CBA were only going to pass on less than half the RBA's cut. This would have given our profits a significant boost. But now those dills over at the RBA have left us standing with our pants down, figuratively speaking, of course.
And the smart asses over at ANZ will have to work out whether they independently raise rates at their special meeting on Friday. The question for us is, do we hang them out to dry, or jump on the profit-taking bandwagon?
Frankly, Gail, we were outwitted by the treasurer, Swanee. We should never have passed on the full rate cut in December. The RBA expected us to keep half the cut for ourselves. But that Swanee's jawboning coming into Christmas left us with little choice but to give the greedy punters the full cut they never deserved.
The other problem we face, Ian, is that the big funding costs hoopla that we got our media pawns to jump up and down about have now dissipated. When we issued those covered bonds in January that cost 6.22% per annum, we had a credible case to make. But Ian, today your CBA covered bond only costs 5.86%. Bank funding costs are almost back to where they were before the European problems started to deteriorate, as illustrated all too graphically by the ITRAXX index.
Yes, the risk is we may miss our window of opportunity to screw customers in the name of faux funding cost problems.
I think if Piggy decides to gouge the punters some more on Friday, we should follow suit, but only after a good few days. Let Piggy cop the initial tidal wave of community criticism. He's not going to be in the job for too long, and does not mind sticking it up the politicians. There is no doubt our little Piggy has big brass balls. Do you remember how he called Joe Hockey the Hugo Chavez of Australian politics last time we went into war with the pollies?
Ha 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 ha. Yes, I do, vividly. That was most amusing. Well, I think we now have a plan. Let's let the big bad boar bolt out of the bush and take the limelight. Let's see how he handles the heat and whether he gets roasted on a stick. And if he comes out the other side of this okay, we can jump into the sty and do some of our own gouging.
You do have a way with words. There is much truth in our secret saying, heads we bankers win, tails taxpayers lose.
Ha 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 ha.
Radio.